Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. President Beta. Murder Master Music Show. It's that kid, Hanilla. Welcome to the Murder Master Music Show today. This right here is where the real rap at.
From the Dayton family.
Baby, this is your boy, Andrew.
What up, y'all?
This is Keyshawn.
Yo, 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 what's up? This is your boy, C-Mur, and I'm chilling with my boy, Scott Beta, and you're listening to the Murder Master Music Show. It's the hottest thing out right now, you heard me? Keep it true.
Check out the motherfucking Murder Master Music Show right here at blogtalkradio.com/Murder Master Music Show. We play nothing but the hardest gangster shit from around the globe. Plus, we interview legends and pioneers of this motherfucking rap game. Call the number at 714-409-0548. Ain't nobody else paying homage to legends like we are. Fuck the lame stream, bitch.
Retire my rap jersey and hang my mic from the rafters.
I'm always in a cop scope, like wrestling, landing knees first on bastards from off the top rope.
Here we go, it's the motherfucking heat bringer. Hard ass bomb, drop a rough beat banger. To your woman, I'm that motherfucking meat slanger. Hands up if you don't give a fuck. Feel what I'm saying, Carino? It's the motherfucking heat bringer. Hard ass bomb, drop a rough beat banger. To your woman, I'm that motherfucking meat slanger. Hands up if you don't give a fuck. Feel what I'm saying, it's like that.
2002, Carino and Rough IQ. Yeah, what's up to my brother Scott Vader? We kill all haters. SPC, Sinners are killers.
Episode 69, Murder Master Music Show. This is the episode dedicated to my brother Carino, man. 30 years in the game. This cat's been doing it for a long fucking time. And you hear the lyrics that he's spitting. There's no reason why he shouldn't be, you know what I'm saying, one of the most recognized MCs in the world. And that's really what it is right there, man. That's proof. You know what I'm saying? Carino is proof that talent is overlooked in the rap game, in the entertainment game, period. Just like with comedians, you know, on film. You got great comedic actors, and then you got shitty comedic actors don't make you laugh, and they get paid the most. You know, some douchebag like Adam Sandler gets $50 fucking billion or whatever the fuck. You know, it's just, that's how it is in the rap game. Some motherfucker like Trinidad James or Lil Wayne, one of these fools, they'll get all this attention. You know what I'm saying? They have all these kids brainwashed completely. But then over here, you got a man that's speaking some knowledge, some truth, some realism, and he's deadly as fuck with the lyrics and the talent, and he gets overlooked by a large majority of the population. It's fucking disgusting. That's why we always support him. We always support brothers like CO the Bad Black, Trey Wood, Mac Mizzle, producers like fucking Skinny Mane and Laid Back ENT and Soundmaster T. You know what I'm saying? We try to support the people that are getting overlooked. Carino's definitely one of them. Well, I'm waiting on him to call. He should be calling them pretty soon. In the meantime, just listen to some music, man. There's some classics from Carino. And I'll be back at you soon right here. UGS Radio, Murder Master Music Show.
Yeah, this is the Black Capone. This shit be getting deeper than 6 feet when the nigga be rolling with Carino. So niggas, load your gas. Cock up, it's on. Follow Carino into this danger zone.
I'ma have to drop me another motherfucker. If I'm laid back, I get me thinking I'm a sucker. One little, two little, fighters not a zone. Don't park, it's a motherfucking game.
On the call, I hang with killers, dope dealers, ex-cow killers, mercenary murderers, maniac mug drillers, street thugs, crazy crews, and blood spillers, catastrophical combinations of casket fillers. Oh, you capping, cranking up all this drama. Cool, somebody pick him up and go call his mama. 86, cause I ain't joking, I break tricks. When it comes to bullets, I'm like that singing group, so come take six, yo. Happy death day to you, cause I'm about to run revolution through you. I'm coming out to rock them like Rambo, my damn foe. I'll slam your ass hard, cause I am your worst nightmare. I might square you off solid, take the last dollar out your wallet. Louis Farrakhan and Brother Khaled. Ain't no depressing this solid savage like Decimus. Cops standing arresting this mean massacre specialist. I'm free stroking. Man, you think I'm joking out again? Next to break, I'm leaving 20 of them broken when I'm chasing them. I get hyper when I'm wasting them. It's like ice cream and milk on some legs when I'm tasting them. Boom, I came out the womb, the car doom. Had to leave the universe cause it wasn't enough room for my brain. I'ma hit him with a fast shake. Let him jump, I fill him up like a gas tank.
I'ma have to drop me another motherfucker. Since I'm laid back, I guess you think that I'm a sucker. One little, two little, fight or not a game. I'll fall for some motherfucking game.
don't feel like crushing your style of day. You miss with a gun to my head, but I hit you from a mile away. Lock him up in a room with struggling MCs. Caught him up in a breeze, a killer bee. How the hell did he freeze? It's damn near 130 degrees. I'm venomous like a snake, but I don't rattle like the rest of them. A solid stuff. Buffety causing explosions in the chest of them. Where's my fuck? Who the hell pack my fuck? I'll leave him in stitches. I'll leave him in ditches. Fuck ass holes be falling down like London Bridges. See my click. No, it's not the gang, but we'll gang up quick. See if you want to bang, throw them bangs up trick. Let gangsters be gangsters, but we ain't the ones. Cause gangsters ain't the only people who pack the guns. See if you got the clip point blank, got the shank. Cat pulled the gas, so E drove a tank. Egypt E made them flee. DBX broke they neck. They see drill packs a drill rough. I too got the tech. My boat was fast. I'm running the lyrics. You stuck in a path. I hung them at last. The rap blast. Never mentally trapped with his tongue in a cast. I float. Ain't nobody wrecking K Reno. So grab your heart and tell Elizabeth you're coming to join a hoe.
Right there, classic shit right there. Classic, man. We're calling K Reno right now.
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's up, K Reno?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good.
Man, first and foremost, congratulations. 30 years. Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
It's got to make you feel like, you know what I'm saying, that you really accomplished something.
Oh, yeah, man. Or either that or that I'm really old. Going out of the tube. No, but I mean, I think the accomplishment just comes from the fact that after all this time that, you know, my phone is still ringing. You know, people are still trying to get me for features. People are still trying to book me for shows. People are still trying to get me for interviews. So, I mean, at the end of the day, when you and people are still wanting new music, so when you're in that situation, man, that's the accomplishment, because it's people that have had way more, I guess you could say, success, you know, commercially, or they've sold more records, or they've been more popular, but in a short period of time, with a year, 2-3 years, nobody even checking for them anymore. So, I mean, That's the accomplishment part of it for me.
Your core audience is never going to leave you. I mean, you could be, you know, 50 years from now, you could be 110, whatever. People are still going to buy your shit. Right. You're rapping, they're buying.
Right, right. I mean, see, but and I think that's yeah. That's a testament to the blessing that I was able to receive years ago and understanding how to make timeless music. You know, in my opinion, just to be able to say, you know what, I can make a song that not only is good for the day, but, you know, future generations are going to be able to listen to it and get something out of it. And so with that, my fan base is getting younger and younger, which really recycles me. I was at a showcase last night, and, you know, the guys was like, man, you know, I'm 21, man, and I'm a big fan. So the first thing that came to my mind when he said he was 21 was me saying that, you know, I was 42. So, like, I'm twice the guy's age, you know. So that generation, that's a whole generation. But, you know, that recycled me. You know, that keep me going. The people that age are starting to, you know, listen to the music.
You can't deny the lyrics, man. When they hear the lyrics, there's a story being told every song. It's not some bullshit, and I think they appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean that's what it boiled down to. You know, you go through those stages. You know, I had to go through them same stages as a writer, just like anybody else, where I was writing a lot of, you know, crazy stuff, a lot of BS, and the stuff that wasn't really gonna benefit people who listen to it down the line. But, you know, you evolve and you learn and you grow, and then you reach a point where you start understanding the value of words and the power of words and the effect that it has on people who listen to you and the influence that you can have on somebody just by what you say. And, you know, that puts you in a mode of saying, you know what, I got a responsibility. And, you know, you got to, it's all about how you use that. You're going to use it for a good purpose, or you're going to use it to further bring people down when people are already down.
Yeah.
So it's like kicking them when they down. You know, the condition of the people is already so messed up. So I'm going to take this tool and either work out a way to try to save the people, I'm going to take the tool and bust you upside the head with it and make the situation worse.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, cats like you are really needed right now. And, you know, I don't want to call you just a conscious rapper, because you're much more than that. I believe that you embody a lot of different genres within this one genre of rap. But when it comes down to it, you know what I'm saying, if I tell cats, if you want to hear conscious music, you got to hit up K-Rena. You got to. You know what I'm saying? Because there's, I mean, you can go back and listen to old Public Enemy records. You can listen to some of these new cats over there in the East Coast, you know what I'm saying, like Vinnie Paz and Diabolik, and of course,
right.
You know what I'm saying, Immortal Technique. But there's a point where you just got to, man, you got to listen to that K-Reno if you want some substance.
Well, you know, my thing, I think conscious rap can't be put in a box.
Yeah.
Just, I think people sometimes, they equate conscious rap with political rap, you know. And my view on conscious rap is always just anything that constitutes just being real, you know.
Yeah.
Being real and beneficial, you know. I don't have to be talking about how messed up the government is in order to be conscious, you know. I could talk about how we just need to get our mind right and stop tripping, you know. You need to be a better father to your children or something, like just everyday stuff that we go through. Women need to get off welfare, you know, just something that people can relate to directly. I think that's a form of conscious rap, you know. It covers such a much more bigger ground than what a lot of people tend to put the label on it. But you know, those other elements are a big part of it too. So I'm glad to be able to try to cover all of that, you know, because if I can be that guy who, you know, you can't miss me on nothing. If you got a problem with this, or if you got a question about this, I want to be able for you to go to one of my albums or one of my songs to be able to hit me, touch on it in some form, you know. This will be well rounded all the way around. I don't want to be restricted to just one category, you know.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all. Because you gotta think of it too, man. You have the ability to paint a picture, a visual, to go along with the music.
Right.
You know, when you hear something like All Gold Everything by Trinidad James, the only picture you get in your head is just stupidness. You know what I'm saying? When you hear one of your songs, you gotta fucking think. You gotta put your brain to work.
Yeah,
you know
it's
I respect the fuck out of that, man.
It's dumbing down and then it's smarting up, you know. And you know, sometimes, you know, my thing is, what I always say about some of the new rappers is that I like to do research on them and try to get an understanding of who they are and what reality they come from.
Yeah.
Before I shoot them under the bus, you know. If I look at a guy and I say, you know what, this guy is 20 years old, 19 years old. He made this song, man. He don't know nothing about nothing. He, you know, he's just some cat out the hood trying to get it on. I'm not going to be as rough on him as I would for the guy who makes this garbage song, and I find out he's 35. You know, I find this cat 35 years old. He went to college. You know, just got all this information in his head, but he's still participating in this buffoonery. Then I'm going to, you know, have a look at him from a different type of angle. But, you know, I think we get so caught up and trying to be what we think the industry is looking for, what the industry dictates, and it turns people into the puppets, man. It turns us into fools and clowns because they wave that dollar in front of your face, man, and they wave that necklace in front of your face, and those drugs and those women and all of the illusion that come along with so-called success, and we just bite, we fall for it every time, man. So, you know, we gotta educate ourselves before we can educate other people, and we gotta just have responsibility, man. You know, I was reading an article about in the Final Call newspaper about the lyrics that Wayne said, the Emmett Till line. You familiar with that?
Yeah.
I mean. And my thing was, I'm like, okay, well, you know, this guy, for him to write the line, he's 100% familiar with Emmett Till and who he is and what the story is about. So he has knowledge of the situation. So right then and now, I was like, man, he shouldn't have even said that. You know, I mean, I looked at him in that same mode. Now if I catch some cat that's 12 years old, knowing he don't really know. You know, I'm like, okay, well, let me educate you. But I, you know, that was
30-year-old man.
Yeah, that was 30-year-old man to say that, man. A 30-year-old black man.
Yeah, you expect to hear that in some neo-Nazi record,
right?
You know,
right? You know,
something from American History X. That's what you expect to hear it in. It is
funny. I'm gonna tell you.
Not in the Cash Money Records.
Right. And the crazy part about it is that's not the first time I heard a rapper reference Emmett Till that exact same way. About probably 5 or 6 years ago, I was at a block party and some cats was performing, and a guy got up there and did the same thing and said basically the same line, you know. And I was like, man, I can't believe this dude just said that, you know. So I mean, I think it speaks to just the fact that sometimes, you know, we're willing to say anything just for a response, man. You know, some lines you have to, you know, you have to brush them aside. I don't care how dope you think it is, how clever and creative you think it is, you have to focus on the impact and the negative side of what that line of that song is gonna have in the long run, man. And, you know, we get to the point we just don't care no more, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's real too. And plus the fact that the Emmett Till was a child,
right?
You know what I'm saying? So that right there is like almost advocating, you know what I'm saying? You know, hurt towards children,
right?
And that's something I constantly fight against,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Because our kids, man, that's where it's all at right there.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's we just, you know, like I say, I got a lot of songs, man. And a lot of lines that I said that I wish I could take back, you know, just things I said, and I could be somewhere and people would come up to me and say, man, I remember you had this song or that line, and I'm like, ooh, man, don't bring that one up, you know, because that was just in those days of just ignorance and those days of having that same mindset of like, you know what, it's all about, it's like a comedian who tells an offensive joke. But
he
doesn't take responsibility, or he's unapologetic for it, because his goal is to get the laugh. You know, as long as it's funny, that's all that matters. But it's bigger than that. It's bigger than it being funny. It's bigger than this punchline, you know, being just a great punchline or clever punchline or shock value. You know, it's bigger than that, man. And you know, until we do that, until we start thinking about it from that perspective, man, we gonna be messed up in this thing, man.
Yeah, it's real talk. Well, you know, there's a lot of people nowadays that are real, real sensitive, on all kinds of issues. It's almost like you can't say anything anymore to anybody.
Yeah. See, what happens is people get confused with what you say, with how you say it. You know, see, my thing is, I'm never concerned with how you say something, although how you say something can affect what you say in a way, because people, like you say, are so emotional that they overlook the actual facts of the statement and they go straight to the, you hurt my feelings because you hollered at me, you know, something like that. So,
yeah.
You know, that's the thing you tell your son, hey, man, get there and clean that room up. And he's sad because you raised your voice because, hey, man, but you need to clean your room, you know. So, I mean, that's the thing, you know, when you talk about some of the issues, some of the things that are just on the front burner, if you will, of society on a daily basis, it does speak to a degree of sensitivity that people have. And these groups, they come out against you, and like, it's like a gang coming out against you, man, if you say the wrong thing to the wrong people. But I mean, when you speak in truth, man, and when you speak in truth, especially when you speak in truth to power, then, you know, you can expect that, and you should embrace it. You should embrace whatever backlash you get when you know that what you're saying needs to be heard and what you're saying is the truth. Make sure you can back it up with facts.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you can back up what you say with facts and you're not spewing out stupidity and just slander and nonsense, then, you know, you shouldn't have no problems with saying what's real.
Exactly. Got to be able to back that shit up. It's like,
right,
you write a letter to the editor, you know, do your research before you even submit the fucking thing.
Yeah, and you know, and it's like, I keep thinking about all this, cause I guess I've been seeing all this stuff lately. I saw the letter that the brother from the Zulu Nation wrote to Worldstar Hip Hop, the website, and that was just another thing. I read the whole letter and it was real respectful, but he was just saying like, man, y'all are, you know, putting out these images, man, that are portraying people in the wrong light, man, portraying negative image of black people. Y'all like to show fights, y'all like to show, you know, sexually explicit type things, you know, just, but in the name of hip hop, y'all named this World Star Hip Hop, you know. So I mean, it's just something that, you know, that struck me like, well, yeah, I kind of agree. And then I was reading the comments behind it, and I, oh man, they hating, man, the Zulu Nation hating it. You know, I was like, man, you know, a lot of times, you know, the people are so twisted up and mixed up. You know, these are all my opinions, but the people are so messed up in the head, man, that they don't even see, you know, where the brother was going with it. He was saying that, man, you know, hip-hop, you know, while those elements exist, you know, are fighting, and, you know, those things happen in the course of the history of hip-hop, that shouldn't be the number one focus, and that shouldn't be the attracting point that you use to hype up your site, you know. So it's a bunch of crazy stuff going on, man.
Yeah, oh, definitely. But I want to go back, you know what I'm saying, in your career. Let's take it back 30 years, man. What and who inspired you to start rapping in the first place?
Man, I can remember just being about 9 or 10 years old, like a lot of people hearing Rapper's Delight, you know, by the Sugar Hill Gang. When I first heard Rapper's Delight, that was it for me. I had never heard nothing like that, much less on the radio. And I was like any other cat in my neighborhood. I knew the whole song by heart. I could rap it like I wrote it. Later on, you started hearing, you know, Curtis Blow and The Message, Grandmaster Flash, The Furious Five, and, you know, I heard Melly Mel and Grandmaster Flash, and one of the cats said, I'm the bow-legged brother, there'll never be another. I bought a mansion for my mother, and I bit that line immediately, you know. The first rap I wrote had, I bought a mansion for my mother in it, you know, and I knew it wasn't my line. So, I mean, those were the early influences that I had, man, just going back to the early 80s, man, and, you know, just trying to see if I could do what those guys were doing, never having any thoughts of making records, never having any thoughts of having a fan base, a support system, and definitely never having any thoughts that 30 years later I'd be doing it, you know, the way I do it now.
Yeah, it's just amazing. It's amazing. You know what I'm saying? My brother, the BG, all the way in Germany, you know, he's one of your biggest fans. He reviewed, you know what I'm saying, 80 Minute Eternity in our last issue, Underground Society Magazine. That was the only album in the review section that got a classic review.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
Crazy.
Front
that's
to back. Crazy. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to BG.
Yes, sir. BG, what it is, man. That's crazy. I mean, it's like, you know, a lot of these people, they put out, like, you can go back to the old days with the Source. Then you can go back to the old Murder Dog days. You know, you more qualified to speak on that. Anyway, I used to always put more weight into the reviews in the Murder Dog than I ever did with magazines like the Source and all that, because I felt like the people who listened to the albums back then were just some underground-minded cats who really had a full understanding of, you know, the criteria of what makes a classic album or what makes a good album or what makes a whack album. So, you know, when underground people give me a good review, I take that more to heart because, number one, they're going to keep it real. You know, if the album was trash, they're going to say it's trash. If it was all right, they're going to say it's all right. So, I mean, I respect that a lot, man.
I've had people threaten to kill me for the shit I said about them.
I mean, see, that goes back to that those sensitivity issues.
Yeah.
See, sensitivity, man, it's like a disease, man. It's like a lot of people suffer. They need to come out.
Yeah,
they got all these
estrogen
commercials about depression and other. They need to come out with some sensitivity commercials, man. Something you can take for that, because you got to have thick skin to be in this and be in this game, man. To be in this industry, man.
In
my time doing this, you know, people would be crazy to think that nobody has ever said nothing negative about me, about my music, about my my flow, my lyrics, my beats. You know, I've heard it all, man. You know, so if you gonna jump in this game and pout and cry the first time somebody gives you a bad review, I would rather, me personally, especially if I'm a new artist, I would rather try to get in contact. Let me try to get in contact with this dude, Scott, man, and see why he said what he said, you know. And I'm sure it wouldn't be a problem. Hey, man, I read your review on my album, man. The part that you said, such and such, such, you know, what do you mean by that? I'm trying to really get better. I mean, that's what an artist, in my opinion, should do, instead of getting mad and, yeah, you know, and just be real. See, because I get it all the time, man. I go to shows and people put their CDs in my hand, and the few that I do listen to, I'm not able to listen to them all. But the first thing I tell them, I say, man, if you don't want an honest opinion, man, you know, don't even ask me, man. You got to be able to take criticism, man. Oh, no, yeah, I can take it. Okay, well, I'm just saying, because, you know, you may not hear what you want to hear. You know, you may hear it. If you're that good, then I'm gonna give you a props. But you know, I don't get into that, man. I mean, you know, there's too many people in the world for you to let two or three people who may not feel your style. You think everybody like Jay-Z? You know, you think,
yeah.
Look how many people, we just got to talking about Wayne. Look how many people just despise Wayne, but
yeah,
that don't stop the other 2 or 3 million people from buying his records. You know, it's something out there for everybody. So as from the, on that principle, as an artist, you have to have thick enough skin to say, okay, you know what, this guy don't like it, I'm not gonna cry over it. I should be trying to find out why. But even if I just totally disagree, we agree to disagree, I'm gonna still keep pushing forward because it's gonna be people that do like it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, some people, you know, we tell people up front, you know, if you send us your CD, be prepared to harsh criticism.
That's
which
right.
Could result in you giving up your dream as being a rapper.
Hey.
So, you got to be prepared.
That's right. You can't be no punk, man. I mean, plain and simple. I mean, that's what it is. This underground, man. I know y'all underground, so, you know, bars got to be able to. I gotta be able to take it on the tin one or two times, man. You got a glass tin, glass jar, then you don't need to be in the fight game.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, see, and then what, you know, then you got to look at the fact a lot of people, they surround themselves with yes men in their own camps. You know, it's like my theory always used to be, man, you know, when we did projects together, South Park Coalition, and just casting our circle, man, it's always about, look, man, be honest with each other. Because it's better for 5 or 10 of us to be honest with each other in this room. And you tell me I'm trash, or what this first I did was trash, then for you to lie to me, and then the whole world tell me it was trash. So then I'm going to turn right back around and look at y'all. Like, when you say, man, did y'all know, man? Was y'all feeling this all along? But yeah, man, we didn't want to say nothing. Yeah, but you don't let me get embarrassed in front of the world. So, you know, you're in a grab group, y'all listening, man. Or even if you got homies that hang around you, bobbing their head, make sure they really feeling it, man. You know, it's always good to have one or two homies. I got like 3 or 4 homies, man, that's not going to sugarcoat with me, you know. And those are the people that I like to really just sit back and play my stuff to. Because they're going to tell you, you get a positive compliment from them, you accomplish something.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a good thing to have. But, you know, you've raised the bar lyrically. I mean, even for yourself, how do you keep raising the bar?
Man, not relaxing on the accolades, the compliments. You know, I accept it humbly. I appreciate it. I'm motivated by it, but I don't dwell on it. I move on from it, and then I take whatever song, when you talk about lyrically, I take whatever song that gets mentioned to me, and I almost reverse it in my mind to where if somebody gives it high praise, I act like the song did something wrong to me. So I take offense to it. So now my mindset is to destroy that song, you know, and it's my own song. So that's the formula. It sounds crazy, but that's the formula that I use. You know, it's almost like back in the days, if you was using it as another rapper in that way. Like if somebody to your neighborhood say, "Hey man, old boy over there, man, you know, he said a rhyme at lunch today that was colder than the one you said yesterday at lunch." So you go into war mode. Like, okay, well, he said a rhyme that was okay. Well, watch what I come back with tomorrow. So that's the same thing. He said, man, you'll never make an album like such and such. Or you'll never make a song like such and such. Oh, okay, I won't. All right, watch this. So, and even if I don't match it, even in my own eyes, it's going to be real close. And it's going to be arguable to where people will say, you know what? It's no slack off. You know, it's no slack off. So you got to compete with yourself, man. I tell people that all the time. You know, you the biggest person that you have to compete with. The field is going to do what the field does. But if Tiger don't have that motivation in his mind to compete with himself, you know, it don't matter what Bill Mickelson and all them other cats is doing. He got to be greater than Tiger. You know, if he views himself to be the greatest, he got to be greater than what he already is.
Yeah. It's almost like the competitiveness of Jordan.
Right.
You know, throughout his career, he just kept elevating his game until, you know, he was just at a peak.
Right.
Do you expect to reach a peak, or are you just going to keep going?
Nah, man, because if I was able to just leave my feet, if I was able to walk outside and just go straight up into the air, if as high as I could go, it's no ceiling that I'm going to hit, you know. There's no roof up in the sky that eventually, if you go high enough, you're going to hit your head on it. So I don't expect to reach a peak, you know, and as long as there's information out there, there's always new information, there's always new things to talk about, it's always undiscovered information, things that I was never aware of, that I come into the knowledge of. As long as all that stuff exists, man, then I got an infinite amount of things to talk about, and I got an infinite amount of creativity to play with, to play around with, man. You just have to push yourself and force yourself to do things that nobody's doing. If you look at what everybody's doing in this game, you know better than anybody that 75%, 80%, you know, the number might be low, of people are basically doing the same thing. You heard one of these cats, you done heard them all anyway, you know. And so it's easy to go against the grain. It's just about how deep and how far into it that you're going to be able to go. You can't be lazy. You can't be a lazy thinker. You know, you can't be a lazy writer. You know, you have to. If a good line pops into your head, why stop at that line? Why stop the first way that it came into your head? Let me see if I can mess with it and make it better.
Every bar.
Yeah. Or just that one bar. You see, because sometimes, man, you be sitting on the toilet, man, and a killer line will just come flying in your head out of nowhere, and you're like, okay, I can write that down as is right now, and people gonna love it. But let me mess with it three or four different ways and see if I can make it better. I'm still saying the same thing, but just better. And if I can, I'm gonna use the best version that I come up with. If I can't, then I go back to the original way that it came in my head, because sometimes the first way is the best way. So that's the thing, man. You got this. It's a process, man. You got to keep on just messing with it, toying with it, and that's how you get better, man. I listen to some of the stuff. I listen to so many, and I'm not talking like I'm an expert or I'm like just the king or anything. But I'm saying that I've been doing it so long that I peep out so many just mistakes in the way people will say a particular line. Like, I've heard some of the greats do this, where they'll say the actual punchline, the impact line, they'll say that where the setup line is. So, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if I say, just say, if Rakim would have said, that's 21 MCs ate up at the same time. What if he'd have said that before he said, it'll take seven more before I go for mine? It's backwards. You see what I'm saying? But I hear people do that all the time. You know, I just use that as an example. You got the best part of the line needs to be the second bar. You know, it's little stuff like that, man, just make a difference. When I listen to stuff, I'll be like, man, he should switch that around. But, you know, I try not to do that.
I mean, you could run a rap school. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Kara, I believe Kara's one's got one. You ever thought about doing something like that?
Nah, I mean, that ain't never been something that I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, man, I mean, I got a lot of stuff in my head. I wouldn't mind being a contributor or a guest speaker here and there, but, you know, it was never just my goal or dream to just do that full-time or the majority of the time. You know, Karis One, I think that's his calling, man. He's the teacher. So... You know, he's got so much information. You know, he's my favorite artist of all time for his rapping, man. So, you know, I'm heavily influenced by that brother. But but in my own time, you know, I've been able to pick up a lot of things that have been helpful to people that relate to different people's realities as well. So, anything I'm able to contribute, I'm cool with. I don't hide the light, man. Any artist can feel free to get at me, man. I get it all the time on Facebook, man. Cats come flying in out of left field asking me questions about this and that. And if I got the time to sit down, man, I chop it up with them, man, and tell them what I know and, you know, hope it work out for them.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy. We interviewed you last year, 25th anniversary of SPC. This year, it's your 30th anniversary. What do you got coming up April 6th?
Man, April 6th is going to be just a big celebration, for my 30 years in the game, man. I'm going to do a big show, a big event at a spot in Houston called Warehouse Live. Just a legendary concert hall, man. I mean, everybody from the likes of Prince to Public Enemy to Rudy Ray Moore. I'm just naming all the people that I've seen perform in this place. But there have been countless others, man. Everybody who's anybody, man, has actually stood on that stage, man. And I'm going to get my opportunity, even though I've performed in that before, but I'm going to get my opportunity to have my own show in there on April 6th just to celebrate, you know, 30 years in the game, man. 30 years with the pen and the pad. It's not 30 years in the industry. It's 30 years from the first time I ever picked up a pen and paper and tried to put some words together. And, you know, that's just a blessing, man, that people are excited about it. And it's going to be probably, you know, one of the biggest shows I ever did.
And that's amazing. It's really like, what, about 26 years or 27 years since you actually put out product?
Right, just for us, just the industry, just from that side, that angle. I jumped in that in like 86, dropped my first record in 87. So, yeah, we're looking at 26, 27 years from that angle, man. So it's crazy, man. It's crazy. Close to 30 projects. I lost count of many projects, but close to 30 projects at least. And you know, that's just something. That's just another motivating factor, man. I look at all those people that influenced me. Just not rappers, but people like Stevie Wonder and all that, man. And just how many records they got. And I'm just trying to, you know, make sure I got a whole lot of catalog like that too, man.
Hell of a lot of catalog.
Yeah.
And people, I see people all the time posting pictures of your CD. They have like half their living room covered with your CD cases
crazy.
And shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Hours and hours and hours of work, man. But you left a legacy, and you're continuing to leave a legacy. Your last album, you know, 80 Minute Eternity, it's just another classic. We got this song, Welcome to the Circus. I want to play this song. If you could, just intro this for me. Tell me a little bit about it.
Oh, yeah, man. Welcome to the Circus is just how I view the music industry right now. Not just rap, but period, man. Just a bunch of clowns. Just a bunch of gimmicks and acts. And just a bunch of artificial, superficial garbage, man. So it's like a circus. You know, you pay your ticket. You go in. You see the show. And then in the blink of an eye, it's over. So it's just like some of these cats' rap career.
Yeah, that longevity, they ain't got it. This is Welcome to the Circus. I'll be right back with you, Kay.
Oh, look, Daddy, Daddy. Daddy, the circus is in town. Boy, let me tell you something. I better not ever catch you at that circus. You understand me, boy? Boy. Lions or elephants, just a bunch of idiot rappers with no intelligence, locally and out of town, come see stupid by the pound, might not have no dancing bath, but we got a lot of clowns, you can see them all around, way too many fools to name them, catch me in a cage with a chair and along with trying to tame them, men in pink gotta walk on glass, little bitty shirt can pop for the ass, if you wanna visit better come and get a ticket, hurry up before your music cause they going real fast, see them close up, they so cool, superstars with attitudes, short skirts, much makeup, blonde wigs, and that's the dude. Is it hold up, what the hell? It's much too hard for us to tell. Step right up and see the female who takes her clothes off just to sell. Look at these fools on the mic in a room full of middle school children rapping dirty. On stage with their draws showing, he's 19 and that one's 30. Fake thugs, fake pimps, artificial players ball. Grand finale, watch me line them on a wall and spray them all. Welcome to the circus where every act is worthless. Cartoonish for foolish artists. Where no male rapper shirt fits. Cartoonish for passing off as greatness. Followers and clowns sell out, puppets and angels. All I see is people mindlessly acting like who they trying to be. Signing these dotted lines to be blind, they draped in dishonesty. I'ma give him what he asking for when he come past my door. Get out of pocket, I'ma blast for sure. I got a quick temper, mixed with a bottle of no tolerance. Name synonymous with astonishing flow dominant. Stop, think, you don't want a war with a rapper who could drop a catastrophe in his jaw. When I hear it, I be getting so mad, I lose it. He claiming he better than me, then he has to prove it. He be on the street corner with a bag of music. I'm the leader of the anti-swagger movement. It's hard to get a grasp, cause I'm passing loose. In 1 minute in Houston, next in Massachusetts. Tapping his past fast to a gastric juice. When I blast everywhere that he has, it's useless. Got a ring to put feminine boys in shit. No, no, no jury, no voice effect. How the hell are you comparing a best to an African man packing a dollar cap and wearing a dress? The hood following trends, so the youth is damaged. Subliminal low self-esteem sees a plan. All the death and a degenerate talk is piling. The slave master sitting in his office smiling. His mind is keeping a secret he won't tell. I wonder why the conscious artists don't sell. Spiritual resurrection is what they fear. When it comes to what I be thinking, it must stay clear. They only release songs that corrupt their ear. Making the people become products of what they hear. Welcome to the circus, where every act is worthless. Cartoonish, buffoonish artists, music with no purpose. All I see is fakeness, passing off as greatness. Followers and clowns sell out, puppets and agents. Welcome to the circus, where no male rapper shirt fits. Cartoonish, buffoonish artists, music with no purpose. All I see is fakeness, passing off as greatness. Followers and clowns sell out, puppets and agents.
That's got to be one of my favorite songs right about now. It's I mean, you know what I'm about with this concerning this music business, and
no doubt.
When you make music like that, or murder the mainstream, or when you go into some real deep shit like Grand Deception or No Redemption, I mean, to me that's the shit because it's real.
It's a blessing, man. I mean,
it's reality.
It's motivated by the conditions, you know. I mean, songs like No Redemption, Grand Deception, you know, when I all these years when I was just listening to Minister Farrakhan and Honorable Elijah Muhammad, those songs are direct results of the teachings that I gained from them. When you look at Murder the Mainstream, I was actually watching the awards one night, and I don't hardly ever watch it, but for some reason that night I said, let me watch it. I think they had a Chaka Khan tribute or something, and Prince was going to be on there. Let me check that out. And in the meantime, I had to see all this other stuff, man. And I promise you, man, I might have wrote Murder Mainstream in like 20 minutes by the time the award show was gone off. The song was finished because it just had so much to talk about. And I immediately just went and recorded it maybe 2 days later and put it in the atmosphere, man.
Yeah, and right away, I imagine you got reactions.
Oh, hell yeah, yeah. I mean, they loved it. Just the title alone, before the song was even heard by people, man, just the title alone started gaining a lot of attention because it's not always directly at the rappers. Because a lot of the times, you know, in their ignorance of not understanding the bigger power that's behind this whole thing, they're not 100% to blame for some of the stuff that they are being pushed to put out or being allowed to put out. So it's also directed at that. It's mainly directed at that hidden hand, that powerful.
Yeah.
Force that is responsible for distributing, manufacturing, and putting that stuff out in the first place, influencing these young guys to put it out. So we talk about the labels, we talking about the CEOs, those guys, man, who only care about the bottom line and don't care about the condition of the people in the inner city and the children coming up. That's the real power that drives the mainstream. The rappers are just the figureheads, just the faces of it, you know. But if we could shut them down immediately if we came into the knowledge and understanding of what they represent and started making music that represented change and unification and knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, we could shut them down overnight. We don't even need them.
I noticed too that they're pushing a you know what I'm saying, a feminine agenda.
Oh man,
it's just horrible, because if you look in the 80s, you know, rap was real grimy and
yeah.
But that shit was going on in Hollywood. You had the directors and shit molesting Corey Feldman and Emmanuel
right.
Lewis and stuff like that. And I think that spilled over because the same people that were intertwined in the films were also connected to the people in the music industry.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a campaign.
I think it was like a ploy to dumb down rap.
Yes, man. It was a definitely
take the testosterone out of rap music.
Right, without a doubt. Because I mean, you go back to the hardcore day, man. I'm from the city that the ghetto boys come from. You see, so you know that's as hard as it gets. You know, I always had love, respect for N.W.A. But, you know, I'm from Houston, Texas, man. You know,
yeah.
Scarface is from my neighborhood. Willie D straight out of Fifth Ward, man, a bloody nickel, man. So, I mean, this type of stuff that these cats was on and the actual pride that we gained from the success that they accomplished and just being unapologetically raw, you know what I'm saying? And so just 100% masculine, 100% testosterone, man. So to come from that era and then to see where it is now, to see, like I was saying on the song, to see rappers wearing skirts and dresses, man, and kilts and these type of things, man. I mean, it's absolute
one-eighty,
man.
I laugh, but it's horrible.
It's sad, man, because the sad part of it is the fact that our impressionable young men are gonna start doing it. You see what I'm saying? See, this is when I talk about the hidden hand, when I talk about the power that actually runs the mainstream. When you look at the statistics, when you look at the high percentage of households that are headed by a single female parent, that we know, so that you have the absence of the male figure in the household, you know, particularly the black households. So now you look at a situation where there's no men in a lot of these households to even raise and influence these young cats coming up. So now you see this guy on 106 in Park wearing a dress. You know, now you see some other cat walking around with a too little shirt on, too little pants on, with his drawers hanging out, you know, with wearing pink, you know, all these types of things, man, that seem harmless that might be passed off as being harmless. Oh, it's just clothes, it's just a style, it's just a fashion. No, man, but that fashion is covering something much bigger and something much larger, man. It's feminizing our young men.
Yeah.
See, and then on the flip side, the young ladies are becoming harder.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
So it's a reversal. It's a 100% role reversal, and it's not by accident. It's by design. So you have to say to yourself, you know what? I'm gonna take the responsibility as a man to make sure that not only my son doesn't fall victim to that, but I gotta make sure my nephew, whose daddy ain't never around, or he don't know his dad, I got to make sure he don't fall victim. I got to make sure that the young cat on my block, who daddy ain't around, don't fall victim to it, man. That's how we used to do. That's how people did us growing up.
Used to look out for each other. And,
yeah. You made sure. If it wasn't a man in the house, somebody going to make you a man. The neighborhood going to make you a man. You're going to get it from somewhere. So in the music business, it's our job, the people who recognize why it's like that, not what it is, but why it is. It's our job to try to mentor these young cats coming up and try to speak through our music to them to make them understand, well, no, it's not all right to put on a skirt. I don't care what you call it. I don't care what some European designer has said this is, or it's not all right for a dude to wear a dress. So I don't care how you slice it. You know, but it's done on purpose, man. They feminizing us, man. And so you look up and you just walk through the neighborhood, man, and you see these young guys just more and more feminine, man. Just everywhere you go.
My daughter even comes up to me and sometimes is like, Dad, what? Why is that guy wearing, you know, girl stuff?
Right.
You know, that's when you got to sit down and explain to your kids the situation, like you just said. You know, or explain it to them before they see it. Because I had no idea, man. I became a father in 03, and from then till now, just in that 10-year period, shit's changed drastically.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's that rap androgyny, man. It's like we got some crazy stuff going on, man. And this, it don't happen just by osmosis. It don't happen overnight, man. It's just, that was an actual process that took place, man. See, he who pays the piper calls the tune. See, so if you are the one who is in control of what's put out, what's shown on TV, what's heard on the radio, what's placed in the magazines, then you got the power to influence that in one way or the other, whatever direction you choose to. And you can put your imprint on it whichever way you choose to. They control hip-hop. They control R&B. They control rock and roll. They control Hollywood. They control all of these different facets of entertainment. So, therefore, they control the people who they control the entertainers. So, if you want it so bad, which a lot of these people do, or they think they do, they want it so bad, then they're willing to do almost anything to get that particular so-called shine that they're going to get, that temporary illusion of success that's promised to them, you know. So, I mean, you got to ask yourself, man, what do I really want? What do I want from this, man? Do I want to be a guy who is remembered for doing something impactful and positive in this thing, man, being like a Muhammad Ali, a person who would buck the system and be anti-establishment because of a bigger purpose, or somebody who's going to be a conformist and just go along to get along. We're not going to go along to get along. I'm going to do what I feel needs to be said and heard. And when they come out against me, that's going to let me know that I did, that I'm doing the right, I'm on the right road. Because if the powers are in your favor, then you probably are not doing it right. You probably selling out. Just to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's real talk. That's real talk. That's why I pretty much left the journalism scene and started doing my own thing, because I wasn't happy with covering shit that I didn't want to cover.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I didn't want to interview Nelly again.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, yeah. The dude never disrespected me or nothing like that. It's just I have nothing in common with somebody I can't get into as far
right.
as musically. And dude,
right.
what he's talking about, I can't relate to. I don't know nothing about no champagne. I don't
right.
want to know nothing about no champagne.
Right. Right. Right.
You know,
you gotta designate people to the categories that they fit in. You know, if you guys, that's your company, hey, you know, we know better than to send Scott to interview this guy. We better get Jimmy over here to go do it. You know, so that's just plain and simple, man. I mean, but the industry is so messed up that at the end of the day, anybody who has an independent mind frame, a mind frame that's based around realness, you're not going to last long in it anyway, man. I mean, you know, somebody like me, people say, well, man, labels, they don't try to sign you. I'm like, of course not. Label's not trying to sign me. And they say, well, would you ever sign with a label? I say, no. I say, the thing is, with a label, Not if a label would accept me, would I accept the label? Because at the end of the day, if they don't take me how I am, it would never work. It would never work. You can't come to me. You can't pull me in that side room and say, hey, man, we really want you, okay? But, see, when that but comes in, everything after that but is going to be bad. You see what I'm saying? Everything after that but is going to be something that's going to make me get up and storm out the room and slam the door or something, you know, flip the table over or something before I go, because first thing you're going to tell me is, hey, man, you know what? You need to stop talking about this. Or maybe if we get this guy, or maybe if we feature this guy on your project, it's not going to work. You know, so I'm not the dude. That's not even my desire. That's not even something that I strive for anymore. My younger days, when I didn't know any better, yeah, I shot my music just like everybody else. But that's not who I am right now, man. I'm not that dude. I'm more interested in trying to save the people through my music, man.
And your motivation, your part motivation for what we do at Underground Society, because we want to educate people about cancer. I got my dad's got stage 4 prostate cancer. I got him writing articles in my magazine.
Right.
You know what I mean? Telling people what he's going through and the research that he's finding. I believe we have to educate people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's just part of our fucking job.
Yeah, man, that's
as
right.
Human beings, you know.
That's right. Exactly.
No matter what religion, what race, none of that shit matters, because at the end
matter.
Of the day, we're all fucking humans, unless you're
right.
reptilian.
Right.
You know, that's something totally
about,
different.
It's about like you said, each one teach one, man, and trying to benefit the whole of humanity, man. Justice, the sun shines on everybody. See, and that's how the God set up the system. The sun doesn't pick and choose who is going to shine on that day. It gives equal justice to everybody. So at the end of the day, you have people in control, with thinking and control, that only allow justice to who they choose. They only allow benefits to who they choose. They only allow that type of information and proper education to whom they choose, because it's based around a dollar. When we talk about the FDA and the certain drugs that they allow to be sold, that's why when you come out with anything herbal and natural, well, you have to put that disclaimer on there and say, well, this is not intended to say that this is a cure to any condition or disease, because you can't say that, because the second you say that, they're going to shut you down because you're messing with the money. So, I mean, yeah, it's real, man. We gotta educate, man. We gotta speak truth to power. And you speak truth to power, regardless of the consequences, then you're gonna suffer the consequences.
Yeah. You are. You're gonna get. I noticed too. You're gonna get fucked with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You might have people, you know what I'm saying, watching you. You know what I'm saying? Got you on a file or something. Just for the music you do, or for the pieces you write, or
yeah,
you know.
No
and
no
I take it. I fully embrace it. You know what I'm saying? Because fuck them.
Yeah, no question. No question.
Ain't nobody gonna tell us how to live our lives but us.
Right.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah, because you only get one. And also, you know, I'm a believer in God, in a higher power, and I'm a believer that if I bow down to them, then I'm selling out God. And I'd rather have them mad at me than God mad at me. So they can do whatever they want to do. At the end of the day, I'm gonna be the one to make sure that when they come, I can say, okay, yeah, you know, who, what's your connection with this guy? What's your belief on this? And I can say it without a hesitant hitch in my voice and tell you what it is, because I feel like it's gonna please the God who I believe in, you know. And so I'm not gonna bow down to them. I'm not gonna bow down to them and let them dictate what I say. And you better say this, or you better not say that. No,
yeah.
I'm not that dude, you know. It's time for the war. It's time for the showdown anyway, like Mr. Farrakhan said. So, you know.
Hey, man, what about Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad? You know,
Brother Khalid, man, he was...
Rest in peace.
He was a warrior, man. He had that warrior spirit, man. He was a flamethrower, man. And that was his whole thing, man, just to make sure that he spoke truth to power.
Yeah.
You know, see that's the whole thing. And people are so afraid to say what needs to be said. And if you're afraid, You know, fear has already been passed down through our DNA just from the our ancestors that have fear struck into them when they was babies. So I mean, you know, we got to break that cycle and not be afraid to make a song like Grand Deception, make a song like Hidden Agenda, those types of songs that are gonna
let
expose.
It burn.
Right.
It goes on and on and on.
Right. Because think about. And you would, like I said, you would probably be more qualified to speak on this than I am, but think about how many rappers, mainstream rappers, know all this information, have this knowledge, but they neglect to speak about it in their music for the fear of losing the position that
they're in.
See
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So think about that. I've had several that have told me that, oh, man, I just do this, you know, just to get my money, you know, la, 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 but I ride with everything you're saying, you know. I mean, major cats in the game, you know. So I'm like, okay, well, that's cool, you know. It's really not cool, but I'm like, I see what you're saying. But at the end of the day, man, I mean, we need you because I can't have a bigger impact as you, you know.
Yeah.
No, they don't know me like they know you, see. So I can say it. But that's like comparing a little neighborhood church that got 50 members in the congregation to Osteen's church, a mega church that got 20,000 members. I mean, I don't got that kind of weight. So we need you. We need you to be able to come out and make this song that's going to shut the world down, that's going to have you sitting up talking to Sean Hannity tomorrow defending that position. You know, because he's not gonna have me on the show.
Right, he should. I mean, I'd love to see you on O'Reilly.
Oh,
I would pay to see that, man. Because
he's that guy. All those guys are clowns.
Bring Nip that. With you, because when O'Reilly starts getting red, that's when Nip attacks.
Oh yeah, no doubt. He wouldn't stand a chance against Nip.
No,
you know, but,
no
you know,
freebies
I mean,
over here.
It just. But that's the thing, man. It's a situation where, you know, everybody is so afraid to lose their nothing. See, what you have is not really even yours, and it's not even worth anything. So the house is not yours. The car is not yours. The money is not yours. It all belongs to them. So you render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Let him have it, you know. But keep your soul. See, that's the one thing that should never be negotiable. Is my soul and my
manhood, your
my
integrity.
Principles. Yeah, and integrity, man. Those things, you know. If y'all take that from me, man, I ain't gotta have a dime, man. But if you just take that from me, man, and I gotta walk around with myself for the rest of my life, knowing that, you know, I just went out like a punk, man. I mean, that's not optional. That's not optional at all, based on a dollar or based on the fear of these people saying, well, man, we gonna take this from you or take that from you. It's bigger than you. You know,
yeah.
it's about the people, man. It's about saving lives, man. It's bigger than you. If you take that from me, if you strip me all that material crap, because that's all you can give me anyway. And truth be told, I can get that for myself. So, can have
yeah, that's real shit.
Yeah,
that's real shit.
You know, you can have that stuff, man. But when I walk down the street and the people in the hood tell me, you know, what a song I made meant to them, I'm good. That does it for me. I'm straight.
That's what I respect about you, man. It's, I get a lot of people telling me too, man. Oh man, I bought this album because I read your review, and that shit makes me feel good.
Yeah.
I feel like what I did was actually worth the fuck. And I want to thank you for something, man. My brother BG in Germany brought this to my attention. I heard the album. I heard the song. I never even heard the shout out. Heat Bringer.
Man,
that was in 2002, man. I thank you, my brother, for real.
No question, man. It's all love, man. I mean, that was back in the days, man. And like I say, you know, you was riding, you was all, you know, you've been riding for us hard, man, since day one. one of the main pieces that, you know, contributed to Murder Dog. You know, Black Dog used to look out for us, but it was those writers, man, that would look out for us and really help put us on the map, you know, out and give us exposure outside of Houston and outside of the state of Texas, man. And you know, that was big, man. I mean, because other than some, you know, minor little publications and here and there, man, you know, I had never been in what I consider to be a major legitimate magazine until I was in the Murder Dog, you know, whether it be an article, a review, you know, I had never walked down that road before, man. That was our underground back in those days, man. Like, this ain't the source. These cats representing, because you would always read about people you never heard of before, people on the West Coast, people down South. It's like, well, who is this cat, man? This cat from Alabama, man, and they got a big write-up on him, and that's how you came to find out who people was, man. And that would have been, it would have been no other platform for that, because they weren't going to do it in the source. They weren't going to do it in XXL, you know. So, I mean, we always appreciated that, man. Cats in jail, writing in, you know, you read that stuff that, you know, boys that was on lock, man, right into the Murder Dog, y'all print that stuff up, man. I mean, that's big, man.
Yeah, we free prescriptions to inmates.
Yeah,
when
man.
They allow Murder Dog in jail now, they don't allow it, you know.
Yeah.
But Murder Dog, you know, it's still going. It's in its 20th year. It's kind of going in a dubs. I'll just put it to you this way: it's dubstepping in a different direction.
It ain't the same. Right.
No, it ain't the same. But you know, that old Murder Dog essence of what you were just speaking about, that's always going to be something that's historical.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? From the Bay all the way to Japan and everywhere else in between, and you know, that's real shit right there. I'm gonna bring out my brother Mac real quick. You know what I'm saying? Mac out of St. Louis, Mac J.
Yeah, what up with the prayers? UGS for life.
Definitely, man. You've been listening in, man. What do you got to say to Brother K. Reno?
First, I want to just salute him for his 30 years in the game, you know what I'm saying, especially he's still putting it down even better than from year one to year 30, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully you get about 30, 40 more of them things.
Yes,
man,
sir.
You know?
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely. And one thing I always remember, I heard a Scarface, I don't know if it was a mixtape or like a little album he had a couple years ago, and somebody was asking him who he liked in the rap game, and towards the end of it he said that K. Reno, he really liked what you was doing and he thought you was the best rapper out of Houston, Texas. And I just wanted to know how you felt about somebody like Face, because like you said, you know, some of these guys, they know more than you, but everybody that's in the game that's real, and especially real on the music, they know who K. Reno is. I just want to know how they make you feel when you get accolades from guys that's maybe more known than some of the underground cats like you.
Well, I mean, from Face, it carries all the weight, because Face is the godfather, you know. I say this all the time, he don't like when people reference him as the godfather, the king, or the just that originator, man. But he's the guy who gave us an identity. He gave Houston definitely identity, but he gave South an identity, because he was the first one to really just bust out from the southern region and get that worldwide respect. Like, he got everybody love Face from East, West Coast, Midwest. Everybody had love for Face. So for him to come out, because I view him as the greatest rap artist to come out of our city, you know, and to come out of the South, in my opinion, you know, because he transcended just everything. So for him to say that about me, you know, that was big. You know, me and Face, we go way back because we from the same hood, but he don't go around slinging out compliments, you know, so.
Right.
If he give you that, man, you know, it came from the heart, and I don't see him every day. So, but for me, for us to be so rare that I'm even in his presence, and for him to have me on his mind, even say that, you know, that was a big compliment.
Right, and like you just said, Prez, you got tired of interviewing Nelly. Shit, I'm in St. Louis, and I wouldn't interview that nigga. I'd rather holler at K Reno or somebody like that, or Nip or one of them Klondike Cat or something. You know what I'm saying? Because like you said, these dudes garbage, man, and they ain't putting no substance back out here. They not looking out for the kids, and you know, and everybody misled out here. So when it's guys like you, it's like this young white guy I work with. And he might be around 21, 22. He had never heard of none of your music, but I knew he was into you know, rap music for the substance of it. And I let him hear Grand Deception, and he been playing that shit every day at work. Every time I see him, he bumping.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. I mean, see, that's probably, you know, I never expected it when I made the song, but that's probably my most popular song because, you know, we over probably close to 1.3 million hits on YouTube.
Should be about 15 million by now.
Yeah, yeah, they got it. They did some tampering.
Oh, they were 713.
But right. Also, it's a, you know, it's encouraging because it kind of lets me know that people are starting to lean towards trying to seek the knowledge and the information. Because, I mean, like I said, I got a lot of songs, and we was talking about it earlier, how some songs I got, I wish I never would have ever recorded, but those negative songs, they don't have the kind of the views and the kind of popularity that Grand Deception has, because I think we are living in a season where that type of information is being sought after by the young and the old, every generation. Is talking about Illuminati, whether they understand what it's all about or not. They're talking about secret societies and this Grand Deceptions all the way around, man. So
yeah, and I always liked that song you and Willie D had too. Still, you still a nigga, whatever.
And see,
that was my
and,
shit back in the day.
And check this out that you mentioned that song. See, that's another thing. See, man, I'm a Ghetto Boy fan, man. How ahead of the time were that? You know what I'm saying? Because. This we did this. Well, I can't say we. Willie D made that song in '92. You know,
and a video to it,
going out like a soldier album, and he invited me on it because he needed somebody to do a reggae hook, and I was messing around with a lot of reggae stuff back in the days, and I was glad to be a part of the song. But what he was speaking about, just that pride as a black person, is just the fact that, you know, so many black people. Just had that inferiority, low self-esteem type of complex to not embrace who we are, you know, no matter. And on the flip side of it, to speak on the fact that no matter how much fame and fortune you accumulate, in the eyes of those people, the enemies of you, you still a nigga, you know what I'm saying? So that was deep, man. That's 20 years old, man. 20 years ago, you know, that Willie D was on that, man. You know, and now people are even, man, people wouldn't dare make a song like that today, man, you know. People don't make songs like Grand Deception. They're not going to make songs. There's only a few people, the handful of artists that make songs like that, you notice just not by coincidence that these guys are relegated 100% to the underground. You know, no matter who you are, man, you're not going to see these guys on 106 and Park. And you know, they only going to deal with anybody they consider to be non-threatening and harmless and not going to be able to get a hold of these youngsters' minds and educate them and turn the table. That public enemy X-Clan stuff, that ain't happening no more. It's a wrap on all that.
Hey, Kate.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a surprise for you here. I got someone on the line right now.
That's what's up.
713.
Yo, it's none other than number one psychopath. Man. You know what it is?
Psycholot Records. What's up, man?
You just chilling, man. I hear y'all in there dropping that science, man. I can deal with it.
Yeah, man. You know, this my brother right here, man. You know, it's the one and only, the originator, the originator of the hardcore, man. You know, no disrespect to nobody else, but I say it all the way to the end. This is the man who started it all.
And first one I heard.
Did it like nobody else did it, and still doing it. But peep it out. He doing it on such a on a high spiritual level now that boys ain't even understanding it, man.
Man, it's a huge honor to have you guys both on the phone at the same time, man. Because you guys go so far back. I want to ask you this, Nip. When did you meet Kay, and at what point did you know? You know what I'm saying, that he had the skills. I mean, did he start rapping right away, or?
Well, really, man. When I was at Jones, I was hearing about Kay Reno. You know, his name was popping, you know, heavily in the street like a pistol, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, if you know anything about South Park, if you go past Belfort, you know, MLK to Belfort, you know, Reno reigns supreme in that sector of the universe. You know what I'm saying? You know, his name was so heavy, you know what I'm saying? And then at that particular time, you know what I'm saying, that everything back on the other side at that particular time, you know, I had that on lock. You know what I'm saying? So that's just how we met, you know what I'm saying? You got two monsters out there, man, you know what I'm saying? You know, Freddie and Jason, they had to make the movie, Freddie and Jason, you know what I'm saying? That's what it is, though, man, you know. But see, what people don't really know is that, you know, Reno was already seasoned, you know what I'm saying? Really, I was like the last to learn, so I really hung around cats and really learned, you know what I'm saying? Reno was already, you know, seasoned. I was one of Reno's dancers. What people don't know, me and AC Chill, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So when him and Dope E was doing the, you know, the COD, you know what I'm saying? You know, I was always in the band. I played the alto sax, so I was always, you know, known for, you know, back then, you know, break dancing, you know, popping and all that, just general dancing. You know what I'm saying? So he had a sax
that could turn into an axe.
Yeah, man. So everything was just meant, man. You know, now we got the moss together, learning the same knowledge,
no doubt.
You know, about the same God from the same man who met the man.
No question.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what's so crazy about the whole situation, you know. So that's why we on different levels. I tell cats all the time that the hardcore style shouldn't be just limited to the physical side of it. You know, the murderous side, it's not just that. You know what I'm saying? It's also, you know, connects with a spiritual side also, you know what I'm saying? You just can't know one side and don't know the other. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. You guys,
and that's really what it is.
It's deep, man. And it's amazing, too, that you guys were able to make music together all these years and, you know what I'm saying, still make music to this day. Both of you guys still putting out CDs, still putting out music. You guys both adapted to this internet shit. You know what I'm saying, all the downloading. You guys are still doing it. No freebies over here, though, right, Nip?
Yeah.
No freebies over here, man. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the thing is, man, I mean, if you know anything about the way we used to do it, we was just doing it before we even thought about making records, period. So we was doing it for the love in the very beginning. So even if we just reach a point tomorrow where we unable to make a dollar off the music that we make, we're going to still make music. You know, we're going to still rap, we're going to still write lyrics. It don't have nothing to do with necessarily the monetary side of it or even just anything to do with age or how long you've been doing it. You know, it's like you playing basketball. I mean, you got cats that retired from the league, but that don't mean you just totally not play basketball ever again because you love the game. So that's us, man. I mean, we love the game so much, man. See, we used to catch the Metro bus and just go around looking for seize the battle. You know, that's the type of stuff me and Nip used to do, man. I mean, we would be at a club or at a party or something, man, and just, you know, we always knew who the rappers was. Even if you never met these dudes, you knew who the rappers was, and we would just basically provoke and coax cats into battling us, you know. And it used to be just the funniest thing. It was a sport. That's what we wanted to do. Then you come home, you're on the way home telling stories about how you smashed the dude that you battled, you know. And Nip was just a man eating shark, you know. Nip was gonna battle his guy. He was gonna eat the leg off the guy you was battling, you know. It was just some fun times, man. I mean, AC, you know, me, Nip, and AC, man, used to run so tight, man, back in the days, man. It was just, that's what we did, man. I mean, it was crazy, man. We had so much fun, and it honed us. It sharpened us because we sharpened each other.
Yeah, you know, and one thing about me, Prez, man, you know, I was the one in the SBC. I actually stayed at everybody's house. You know what I'm saying? At one point, me and my grandmother, you know, we wasn't, rest in peace, we wasn't on the, you know, the best of terms. So I would go to Carino house for about three weeks, 3 months. And then, you know, I would go to AC Chill house. I would go to AC Chill house for half a year. Rest in peace, AC. And then, you know, I used to go to Cat house too.
Mm.
So what I was really doing, I was really gaining knowledge from both of those, you know what I'm saying? Because well, back then, K-Reno and, you know, Cat, they were giants in the hood way before I even started the, you know, the hardcore. I didn't even know that I was even creating the hardcore. You know what I'm saying?
Not to cut you off, but I was going to say, if I had you stayed at my house, I'd be sleeping one eye open and a hand on a knife. Nah, man, just fucking with you. But, nah,
yeah.
Man, you didn't even realize you created it. How did it come about?
Well, man, I'm going to just keep it real with you. Now I'm on some real, real talk. Man, mm-hmm. Man, you hanging around Reno, you hanging around Klondike. You know, like I say, they were already seasoned vets, you know what I'm saying? Reno was already, you know what I'm saying, you know, blasting off like a rocket in the hood, you know what I'm saying? So when Klondike Cat, we both went to Jones, me and Cat. So Cat left Jones, you know, Cat was on the throne before he left Jones. So when he left Jones, then I submerged, then I took over, you know what I'm saying? So for me, it's like I got the best of both, you know what I'm saying, the knowledge, you know, from hanging with Cat and the knowledge from hanging with Reno, you know what I'm saying? And the truth of the matter is that I just formed that style. I never wanted to be like either one. I wanted to have my own identity in the SBC.
Yeah.
So I would always be like an extremist. You know, my rhymes would always be more bloody because I was, you know, my idol is Ice-T. you know, Ice-T ain't, you know, he's trying to give it to you at all times. So that's what it is. Now, I just think that I just, you know, got the best of both worlds, you know what I'm saying? Because Cat, Reno, you know, Cat and Sat Walk
Fatman. Cat was monumental. But see, the thing is, with Nip, man, nobody had, I can speak for myself personally, but I can speak for everybody else. Nobody had never heard nobody rap like that before. And he used to be like, man, you this dude that be talking about, you know, eating heads and, you know, that was the talk.
It was Ed
Gein
on the microphone, man.
But see, the thing, this is the thing I always say about Nip, is that despite what he was saying, it wasn't just direct, chop your head off, bite your arm off. It was cleverness mixed in it. You see what I'm saying? It was cleverness and it was punchlines mixed in it and it was flow mixed in it. It wasn't just simple. You couldn't just say, well, man, that's just, man, it was depth incorporated into it, man. And that's what, to me, what made him stand out above anybody else that was doing it. But on the same token, that ain't the only way that he rapped. You see what I'm saying? He rapped. He would rap that style, but Nip could go in any world he wanted to go in. You see what I'm saying? But he stood on that foundation. But Nip could go anywhere, man. He could, if Nip wanted to be just a man. I wanted, if he just decided whenever he wanted to be that, he wanted to be a lyrical rapper, he could have did that too. You know, but that's just he was a slasher. You know, that's
and
what he
crazy
did. You know,
as society is today, and as fucked up as it is with security and all this homeland bullshit. Can you imagine what would happen to you if you just went to Walmart and screamed out, "I got a closet with a, you know, full of cut off cop heads or some shit"?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's so sensitive, man. I mean, and
I love that shit though, man. I love going back and listening to that you know what I'm saying, those classic songs. But you guys, like I said, you constantly still putting out material. If you could estimate, I know we talked about this before, but how much combined material has SPC put out over the last, you know what I'm saying, 25-plus years?
I mean, if you combine all of the groups and artists in the SPC, it's probably 300 or 400 albums, I'm guessing, you know. No less than 200 albums, you know, but it could be anywhere between 200 and 300 actual projects that have been released. You know, you got mixtapes, you got features. If you combine all that stuff, man, it's probably no group of MCs, group of artists that have probably put in more work and whose voices have been on more tracks than us, man. And it's crazy because we have influenced so many groups, especially in the southern region. I mean, major groups have been influenced by the South Park Coalition, whether it be Nip or Blank, just people that they listen to. And we don't really get the credit for it, which is cool. That's cool. I mean, it's fine. I mean, because as long as they go to bed knowing what it is, then, you know, that's cool with me. But it's crazy because I can watch somebody on TV accepting awards and getting credit for something that they know was founded on the principles that somebody else instilled in them. You know, that's what you do fine, but, you know, we know what the real deal is.
Well, that's the whole purpose of what we're doing here is to, you know what I'm saying, be that voice. Because we were the guys that bought your records.
Right.
You know, we went to the stores and sought out the records and got them. And now today, to see the way the rap came in, it's like, nah, I think I want to keep Gangsta Nip in the mix. I think I want to keep K-Reno in the mix and Spice motherfucking One. And, you know what I'm saying? That's what I want to do. I want to preserve that shit and let people know that there is an alternative to Trinidad Lame or any of these other fucks, you know. Because it ain't, with me, it ain't all gold, all gold everything, and I ain't popping no molly, so.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
Yeah, I'd rather be looking inside the closet with a bunch of cops with their heads cut off.
Yeah, man, no question. It's a blessing, man. Like I say, the people that even still care, man, you know, because, you know, for people to ask me, and I'm sure Nip get this a lot, too, but people always ask me, man, well, you know, when Nip coming out with something new? When Blank coming out with something new? You know, so, you know, I mean, that people don't understand how big that is. Man, we've been doing this a long time, man, you know, and for people to still want to know that, want to ask that question, that lets you know that you did something impactful back in the days, man, that still got people wanting your stuff, wanting to hear you drop something new. You know, they want to hear what you got to say. It also speaks to a level of dissatisfaction that they have in today's music. You know, if I'm sitting here wishing, man, I wish I could see Jordan play in 2013.
Time.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's, that
50.
Means I'm not satisfied. I enjoy the game. I'm not satisfied, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not satisfied either. We have to we just have to go with what we, you know, it's just like if they don't have any more mustard, man, we have to take mayonnaise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, it's some. I'm glad you said that about Jordan because some asshole posted on Facebook. It was actually on the USA basketball team page that Jordan's going to sign himself to a 10-day contract to break the Heat's record. And you got thousands and thousands of motherfuckers that are jumping up going believing nuts. And yeah. I was one of those stupid fucks for a few seconds. You know what I'm saying? For a few seconds.
Yeah.
And then I realized, get the fuck out of here.
Well,
y'all
I mean,
playing
see,
with me.
The mystique, that mystique, man, that mystique is so powerful that
yeah.
you believe he can do anything. You believe Muhammad Ali can come back now and beat whoever
yeah.
the heavyweight champion is just because of the greatness that he had in his
yeah.
prime. I mean, and that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it, man. You put in so much work, man, and you accomplish so much, man, and you just capture the mind and the imagination of people like that. They believe you can do anything, man. It's just the same in the rap game, man. The stuff that we used to do. I mean, we could tell stories, man, that you wouldn't believe. You know, so here we are, 20 years removed, and people are still saying, man, you need to do this, or you need to battle this guy, or you need to do that. And like, man, we ain't did that in 15 or 20 years, you know. But that mystique, man, that we carry, because we just set a bar, we set a standard so high that the music of the day doesn't even really match up to a lot of it. Doesn't even match up to it, man. And I'm grateful for that, man. Can't complain at all.
I just think that, man, we just came from a different porthole in this game, man. We, you know, our stuff is just, you know, man, I was thinking about this the other day, man. Our stuff is just so much, just so far, you know, ahead to where, you know, I don't know, man. I'm just frustrated sometimes because I've been knowing these cats don't want to get on these tracks, you know what I'm saying, with your style, you know, Reno, that lyrical game, man, go on there. Listen, man, it's your boy Nip, man. Whoever listening out there, let's just get this shit clear right now. That lyrical game, kill that. You're not going to beat Reno in that lyrical game. I'm just going to keep that real with you. Not even the great NIP. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to keep that real.
Yeah,
that fight shit, let me finish. Welcome. That fight shit, man, you can kill that fight shit. I'm just going to keep that real with you. So just stop it, man. You know what I'm saying? Go on, pay us our homage, how the shit's supposed to go. You know what I'm saying? And then just get down with us, you know what I'm saying? Learn from us. Because you're not going to beat us in our world. So I'm going to just tell you that right now. So if you think you can, you know what I'm saying? Y'all get y'all two against me and Reno. Know what that is, man. I'm through talking about that. But that's on me, but that's it. Now, let's get back to the Grand Deception, man. You know what I'm saying, Reno? When I was listening, man. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and continue what y'all were talking about, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, this was every day, man. This is what we used to do every day, man. I mean, it just in the 90s, man. I mean, that was our time where this is all part of the history, man. All part of my history. When we talk about, you know, just 30 years, man, I mean, it's certain individuals that are major, that represent major chapters in my history and vice versa, you know what I'm saying? And Nip is absolutely one of them, man. If it was a book about my rap career, it would be four or five chapters of just Nip by itself, you know, because, you know, me and Nip's relationship got so many different compartments to it, you know what I'm saying? Just from the stages of like he said, just hearing each other's name and then just the rivalry all the way up into the unity, to the camaraderie, and just the smashing, how we used to just destroy cats back in the days, man, all up into our making music, the industry part of it, man. And here we are close to 30 years later. You know, because I've been knowing Nip, man. I mean, like I said, we go back to probably freshman year in each one of our high schools, man. So that's coming up on 30 years, man. And for us to still be, you know, just kicking it on a regular like we do, man. You know, Sunday is our time, you know. But if we go 2 months without talking to each other, the connection is still there. So when you talk about Nip, when you talk about Dope E, who represented the musical side of it, man, and taught me so much personally about just how to make music and the type of sound that he brought to the table, with Cat and Cat's versatility, man, and Blank, and it's all the different members of the South Park Coalition that are known worldwide, but you got so many people who have been there practically since day one that are not known, that people don't know, that people don't, that ain't necessarily household names or familiar names that still play big roles in this, man. So just all those people, man, all those elements, man, contributed. I could never say that I'm the guy that I am, whatever I am, of myself, you know, because I was influenced by everybody that I came across, man, just along the way, man. And it was a blessing, man. Nip said all that stuff about me, man, but I learned a lot from Nip. I learned a lot from being around Nip. I learned a lot from being around Dope, you know, just the people who helped me become the guy that I am, man, and we still growing. You know, it's always a process. Like when you was asking about reaching a peak, you know, there's no peak. There's no such thing as a peak, because as long as you stand in vertical, man, you know, it's room for improvement and room for growth and to get better, man.
Yeah. That's real shit.
Yeah, I was about to say that's real shit for real.
You know, everybody listening, I hope y'all enjoyed this show tonight. This has been amazing, man. And again, I want to congratulate you on your 30 years. You know what I'm saying, 25 years with SPC. Nip, I want to congratulate you, man. You definitely put in work, man. I've been listening to your music, too, just as long as K-Reno's, man, 20-some-odd years now, and I hope I can listen to it for another 20-some-odd years, man. Both of y'all definitely been in the CD deck. You know what I'm saying, shit, you was in the tape deck before you was in the CD deck, so... Now you guys are digital.
Hey, if we had started a little earlier, we might have been in the 8-track deck.
I've been in the 8-track, definitely.
That's one of my only regrets, is I never had 8-track out. I got everything else.
It's amazing.
Check this out. Sooner or later, y'all gonna hear that Reno Nip album. You know what I'm saying? Target Practice.
No doubt.
Oh, that shit. Man. Damn, then, okay, now you, I can't really go just yet.
Right, now we amped and shit.
Yeah.
Now, how far are you into this album?
Right now we're mentally in it. But, you know, it'll easily come, you know, trust me, because once we in it, it ain't gonna take but us to do one song. Once we do one song on that album, the rest is gonna be it'll be over with, man. I'm just calling the name right now. Target Practice.
You guys heard it right here, Murder Master Music Show, man. Both of you guys have been on the show before, and you know, Nip, you was on the show with JT and Gangster Pat. That was just incredible. And then, of course, the K-Reno, you've been on several shows, too. And I want to thank both of y'all for contributing to what we're trying to do. And, you know what I'm saying, I wish both of y'all brothers nothing but success in the years to come. You know, got to keep
appreciate
the
love, Scott, man. You've been down, like I say, man, out the gate. And a lot of the success, man, and exposure that we gained, like I say, came from articles that you wrote and reviews that you did, man, and exposed our music to people who never have heard of us before. So, you know, we appreciate that, man.
Awesome.
Wish you was in Houston, man, so you can catch the show, because it's going to be ridiculous, man.
Oh, yeah, I wish I was there too, man. Was it April 6th?
Yeah, April 6th at Warehouse Live in Houston, Texas. If you're in the city or anywhere close, or if you're big balling and you just want to catch a flight and take a quick little vacation, come to the show on April 6th in Houston, man. 30 years in the game. We're going to celebrate it big and strong, man. South Park style, man. Straight up.
Definitely, definitely. Before we go, could I got a drop from you, Nip. Could I get a drop from UK?
Oh, yeah.
The Murder Master Music Show?
No doubt, man. No doubt. What up, man? Y'all checking out the Murder Master Music Show. My homie Prez in the building, man. South Park Coalition. It's your boy K Reno repping from here to eternity. Yeah.
Man, appreciate the hell out of that, man. And another 30 years to you in this game, brother. And Nip, thank you for calling in, man. I really appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, I was about to tell Nip I like the Gangsta Prophet picture that he got on his Facebook. That shit look hard, too.
Oh, yeah, man. Look, somebody did that. Somebody somewhere overseas did that. You know,
yeah, that
man,
shit look
I
hard,
just,
though.
Yeah, that shit look hard. I'm thinking about going ahead and using it. Because, you know, I got the new album coming, man, in about 3 weeks to a month, you know, OG status, you know, so, you know, be ready for that.
And look, man, one more thing before I go. I know I'm doing a lot of talk. I mean, for y'all who haven't heard the new Nip, any of the recent Nip, man, this dude is insane, man. And I see that from just every angle, man. I mean, Nip got some stuff, bro. I mean, I'm a Nip fan, but, you know, don't take my bias as just being chalked up to being a fan, man. He got some stuff. Y'all need to check him out, man, for real. I just dropped a new album called The Maven. It's available now on the website, southparkcoalition.webs.com. Hit me up on Facebook. Hit me up on Twitter. Everything you can, you know, all the social networks holler at us, man, and, you know, we accessible straight up.
We'll put the links up there on UGSforLife.com. And I also want to tell you something, too, man. We're doing a Posse song, and we get that inspiration from you guys. Well, I'm not doing it. I ain't no fucking rapper. I can't rap for shit. But my people are doing it. It's, you know, Underground Society Posse song, man. It's we're going to have about 20 motherfuckers on there. Man, if you guys, everybody's putting in 8 bars. If you guys want to jump on it, man, it'd be a fucking honor.
Oh, man, I got you. Scott, you already know, man. You know, it's just what it is.
Man, that's love.
Yeah, that's what it is, man.
Send
yeah.
me the beat.
Oh, will do, man. Thank you, man, both you guys, man. Thank you, man, Jay.
Yo.
That's what's up.
Yeah, that's what it is right there, man. K Reno, congratulations, man. And, you know what I'm saying, Nip, thank you for calling in. We're going to just play some music. You know what I'm saying? And close this show out. This episode 69, 70's coming up soon. It might be Compton's Most Wanted. I'm not sure exactly what it's going to be. Just keep checking UGSForLife.com. And this Saturday, don't forget to check out one of our other shows, KFYB. That's Fuck You Bitch Radio, you know, with Devil Six, Mac J, and the lovely Velvet Rose. You know what I'm saying? They're doing that comedy slash harassment slash just Fuck You Bitch Radio shit, man. That's what they do. Check that shit out. And, you know what I'm saying, thank you for tuning in tonight.
As we move forward, anytime you come closer to something, your vision should get clearer. Am I right? You are a tool in the hidden hand that's using you. Please don't be delusional. The rulers of this world practice confusing you. The people and the priests and the imams have been jammed by government scams. Mind systematically programmed. Blatant black hatred and racism. The way they lace the whole world and nation with traces of Satanism. This place is a pagan prison. The founding fathers' enslaving intentions were no different than Bush's and Reagan's vision. 1776, it took action. This Illuminati took form and was spawned from a Colombian faction. Just flip your $1 bill over. And if you want me to expose the true code of deception, I will show you. We live in a designed wicked system. The number 13 is consistent in Masonic symbolism. It represents transformation. 12 completes the cycle, so 13 is rebirth and regeneration. The meanings of the symbol are strategically hid. On the left side, you see a 13-layered pyramid. Over that, sister all seeing eye where the light shines. A sign of the devil watching over you at all times. With the words Anuit Coeptis, 13 letters meaning he has favored our undertakings. Will you accept it? Or will you learn the science and ignore them? Under the pyramid, you see novas, ordos, deplorum. Translated, new order of the world, or the new world order. Authors and satanic fathers of mass slaughter. The eagle that you see on the right sits below 13 stars with a shield that has 13 stripes and an olive branch in its claws with 13 leaps, which is supposed to be in its talons to represent peace. But peace was always on a decrease. His other claw holds 13 arrows of war set to be released, and the letters at the bottom of the pyramid are fixed with the Roman numerals that equal 1776. The United States of America exists in a deep devilish abyss with truth and paganism mixed. Every president that ever lived was foul. They gather at Bohemian Grove where they bow down before the owl. See, the owl is wise and sees through the darkness of night, and there's a small one on the dollar near the one on the top right. It ain't hard to understand this government was never for us. The eagle was based off of the Egyptian hawk Horus. The 13 colonies who went to wicked sovereignty and made no apology for the obvious idolatry. Subconsciously, we follow the ways of the beast and pay homage to pagan gods when we say days of the week. Like Sunday, they worship the sun. Monday is moon day. Tyr, the god of war, was worshipped on Tuesday. Odin, the chief god, is who Wednesday is named for. Thursday is Thor's day, god of thunder, the mighty Thor. Friday was named after Frigga, notice the pattern. Saturday is the Roman god of agriculture, Saturn. Frigga was the goddess of love, the wife of Odin. The polytheistic theologies needed decoding. The rituals, like trips across the sand, as man takes. The skull and bones fraternity, the secret handshake. But understand, he receives only 33 degrees. He secretly believes in Lucifer and other deities. Many powerful and rich people are controlled by these. They even hold the soul of several of your favorite MCs. Politicians telling lies, tongues riddled with thorns, and use hand gestures shaped in the form of devil horns. You don't fear this any harm because you don't know what it entails. Satan tampers with stem cells and sprays chemtrails. The so-called holidays are hypocrisy, established to use religious doctrines to commit annual robbery. Christmas split in half is Christ's mass. The so-called birth of Jesus, where every home has glowing lights cast. Christ the anointed one masked the birth celebration, but Jesus' birth was kept secret due to the situation. The king initiated a death plot because the Messiah was prophesied to rule, so Jesus' murder was authorized. No one knows the actual date. That's why sometimes you see Xmas. X means unknown, but ignorance affects us. A fraud that was purposely flawed. December 25th, the birthday of the wicked ruler Nimrod. His whole disguise is part of Satan's universal rise. A holy prophet's life being pimped and commercialized. Positions like lights on trees, rooted in the Nicene Council in 325 AD. By Constantine, these matters were decreed. The concept of a virgin birth was actually conceived and then agreed. With graven images in the temple, the fish on your car is called Onis, a Babylonian symbol. It's visibly contradictory. Telling your children lies, you need to make them study Santa Claus and sick history. But yet we go wherever Satan leads us. The falsehoods we practice in his name ain't got nothing to do with Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome. Welcome. This is your boy Psycho Nip, you know what I'm saying? And this is the Murder Master Music Show, you know what I'm saying? Hosted by my homeboy Prez, you know what I'm saying? The president of this shit, and I'll be the psycho in this shit.
Yo, 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 yo. Check this shit out. It's your boy Gangsta Nip, man, you know what I'm saying? You know, I've been checking the internet, you know what I'm saying? Facebook. It's been a lot of motherfucking rumors about who created horrorcore rap. But I call it psycho rap.
I'm coming up out the casket, I'ma get up out this motherfucker. Finna kill a crook or two. Blades coming out the casket, show them what the butchers do. Hang him on the meat rack, switch it to the feet rack. On the crew of ribs like a path of eat that. This ain't a game, homie, I done been through it. You wanna sit right there, nigga, watch me do it. I only eat brains, partner, hide your wife. Blank, pass me the 4K Reno slide tonight. Murder one, set the table, then go get the glasses. The blood coming out the jar, slow as molasses. The king cause it's like shit, believe that there. Everything we don't eat, Bushwick, leave that there. Man, I've been searching for a kid like that, cause I might get hungry for a midnight snack. I was born like this, is how I get this done. Inside my psych mind is where I get this from. One, and it comes to two, to the three and four. Five dead bodies on the floor. Six, seven, to the eight, to the nine and ten. Need a big pot to put them in. Now stir that bitch with a spoon for leverage. The culinary arts, body, food, and beverage. Your ass better run cause you're living in fear. On a horse with no head like Power Reveal. Jordan on a fast break, look at his vertical. I never carry guns, all my weapons are surgical. Deep game, that's the reason the rats ran. From chest x-rays, MRIs, and CAT scans. I got a sinister memory, real life flesh eater, plus a sucker for chemistry.
Yes.
Since the day I was born in the world to uphold hardcore, I was sworn in. The best I possess, psychotic energy, imagination full of murder and graphic imagery. Anytime you want a battle, then come and see me. Horrible scenes that's too deadly for TV. Y'all done pissed me off, you shouldn't have got me started. Resurrect the worst killers and the dearly departed. You're not from South Park, let's get this clear. Cause we don't eat meat, we eat humans here. Step into the mind state of UFOs. We alone in the galaxy, no one knows. Area 51 makes me leery, but the evidence don't support astronomer's theory. So I pose a question of facts and fiction, a photographic memory of that depiction of life on another planet other than ours, or plants from another world other than flowers. You hardcore rappers, kneel before me, slice your wrist, let your blood spill before me. Before it hits the ground, I'll be there to catch each drop, nigga, y'all be. You better run fast when you hear a gun blast. Connect your brain cells, then I hook it to Comcast. And watch SportsCenter, cause I'm willing and able. Confess to the laws I've been stealing cable. You hated hardcore, nigga, step in the fire. We hang from a wire, we up in the dryer. Surrounded by dark thoughts, it's my desire. Add two cups of bleach, we'll see who's the liar. While I start to drink, you'll start to expire. Your head starts to swell about as big as a tire. I might let you slide if you call me fire. Now get off my motherfucking Oscar Mayer. Horror movie rap, I created this shit. Then these fake ass rappers duplicated this shit. Then these other motherfuckers imitated this shit. Bitch made record companies integrated this shit. Now I'm about to take revenge like a sniper, nigga. Body parts type of windshield wipers, nigga. I accept credit cards, bring them visas with ya. Only way I lose a battle, you bring Jesus with ya.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, man, it's Price One with the Murder Master Music Show. With your nigga Prez, man. Blah, blah, blah.
Evil lurks in the mind of a madman. I have to call Spice One to put in work.
Yeah, straight motherfucking East Bay killer in the house. Spice motherfucking One. That's how you do it. You just mob up on a nigga, shoot him in his motherfucking head, and drag him out the car.
My gas brings fire. The bullet told me shoot that motherfucker. He's a liar. I talk to my 380 like a bitch on the throw. When niggas try to dick me, I haul off and let a hoe kill them all. I can't be trusted in this game. I'm a psychopath. My AK told me to shove him up some niggas' ass. I'm having long conversations with Mr. Millimeter. He's one of my best friends, bitch ass nigga eater. And Mrs. Mossberg living up in that back truck. You know that old school bitch. She like to get in funk. And sitting motherfuckers by the scene. My granddaddy, Mr. AR-15, said he was my only family. Shoot straight, and please don't jam me. My own Glock pistol with me in my fucking head. Cause he said I wouldn't buy the infrared. Got in a fight at a club, my gat started walking. Told me to shut the fuck up and let him do the talking. I woke up and it was sick to see them guts from my strap. Told me, fight, motherfucker, you're born to die.
One to the death and one to the cold.
And if the shit
rats and slugs. Brain running down the drain like the LA flood. Don't be fucking with the SPI. I'm telling you, motherfuckers, I was born to die.
Once in the chest and once in the dome.
If the niggas catch you slipping, then your ass is gone.
Born to
ain't
die.
Ain't no one for the head, so your brain shit.
If the niggas catch you slipping, then your ass is gone.
Kill them off like this, but about five, five, five. S-P-I-C-E, what I'm saying, born to die. Kill them off like that, but about five, five, bang. S-P-I-C-E, what I'm saying, pull
the when they say the true ass nigga from the Bay, AK spray. Beat your dead body as a lay on the concrete. Of the heart, 7 day old ass body smell a little tart.
Pull up to your bumper with a fully loaded magazine, wrapping your motherfucking ass clean.
Blow the heart out of motherfucker back, nigga shit on itself. When I pull out my strap, got a chrome 45, about 9 in the clip. Just doing that day, beginning to mob them dicks. It's just another tale of some gangster shit. When if it's murder in the face of my burst and spit, bitch ass niggas expire, retire, stab him in the throat with the Dayton spoke wire. So don't get caught up in the mix. I let you motherfuckers know quick. I'm born to die.
Once in the chest and once in the dome.
When the niggas catch you slipping, then your ass is gone.
Ain't no fence but the head, so your brain shit.
When the niggas catch you slipping, then your ass is gone.
Tell them off like this, but about bye bye bye. S T I C E, but I'm thinking born to die. Tell them off like that, but about bye bye bang. S T I C E, but I'm thinking pull old sign.
Yeah, nigga, straight walking up on the motherfucking taking this shit with an AK-47, nigga. Get your shit, cause it's on. Tell your hoe you gon' be back. Nigga gon' give up his shit, or he gon' catch a motherfucking slug. Yeah, you gon' catch a motherfucking slug. Fight one in the motherfucking half. Straight killing them all.
Ha 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 ha!